This episode of the Agile Uprising podcast is brought to you by Lean Agile Intelligence. Optimize the flow of feedback. Find them at www.leanagileintelligence.com.
This is Alistair Coburn. You're listening to Agile Uprising podcast.
To another edition of the Agile Uprising podcast series. We're coming to you from beautiful Nashville, Tennessee at the Music City Agile Conference. And today with me I have Tommy Norman and Gaines Corgison, if I hopefully didn't bore
you. Close enough. It's Corgison.
Corgison. But I don't correct people. I'm a name butcherer. But this is a continuation of our series as we're getting into conferences and making our way around. We want to bring the community some insights into the conferences and the Agile communities that support them. So we're gonna kick it over to Tommy and Gaines to talk about the Music City Agile Conference as well as the Music City Code Conference, which. Really, you could make one heck of a week of it if you came down for both this year.
Absolutely.
So Tommy and Gaines, why don't you kind of give us a little bit of history of where these conferences kind of started? We'll get to the origins of that.
Do you want to start
on the City Code? Sure. Well, I mean, I think it really started with John Keller creating DevLink, because that was an amazing conference here in Nashville, and it ran for quite a long time. And then when he moved to Chattanooga, you know, he's running the thing. So he ran it out of Chattanooga, and that community really embraced it. But there were a lot of folks here who couldn't make the trip, especially for multiple weekdays and having to stay in hotels and such. So there was a gap left behind and a need. And it wasn't until 2015 in January when he announced that they were going to retire DevLink, that he and the volunteers were wanting to move on to other things. And it was a kind of leave on a high note, but it left an even bigger gap, especially for the people who were traveling to it. So we decided that year to start Music City Code. So we started planning in beginning of May. We had like 3 months till the date that DevLink was going to happen, and we were grabbing that spot in the conference schedule. And we put together just a small single day Saturday event. We limited it to 250 people, just focused on quality, and it went over well. We sold out and well attended. And we decided to add the next year, Music City Agile, because you were interested in starting something, and we decided maybe this would work to partner up, right?
It was more of, can I just piggyback on all the stuff you already do so I can do the least amount of work? That was
right.
Really what it was.
Well, that's what being a developer is all about, right? Being lazy and finding a better way to do things.
And that's what Agile is about. It's I collaborated with you so that we could both share our work experience, you know. The art of the work not done.
Absolutely. So we actually got 8 times larger that year. Not only did Music City Agile get added, and that we basically followed the template for the first year of Music City Code for Agile on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But then Thursday we did workshops, which we hadn't done before, for both conferences. And then Friday and Saturday we had a 2-day code event that was twice as large each day as the first one. So we grew by 8 times that year.
Like the Grinch's heart. So the interesting thing that, you know, I kind of looking at the format, there's a lot of conferences that kind of set themes and tracks, and I'm noticing a pattern of not actually having one defined track. There's just a smorgasbord of like everything from like coding demonstrations to like actual games. What was your strategy around? Because it's usually we see more people kind of coming up with goofy themes and very specific targeted conferences, and I'm finding this like just to be so completely well rounded that like what kind of drove you guys to the no theme or track kind of concept?
for Music City Agile, to be honest, it was simply just I didn't know how many speakers I'd get. So I didn't want to limit anything. I didn't want to say, oh, you have to get in this track or this track or this track. I'm like, you know, I want to get everything and then see what we get and kind of shape it after that. And, you know, it was purely based on, hey, that's a great idea that, you know, I haven't heard before, or, you know, that's a really good idea I think people would want to hear about. And if that's QA, if that's PMI, you know, something with the PMI, if it's something with, you know, Scrum Master, Product Owner, I don't really care. If it has something to do with development, you know, most of the development stuff that's really hardcore, we try to kind of say, well, you should probably go into Music City Code. But there were some things like, I think we had a session this year about how to, you know, kind of talking to developers. It was almost, you know, this kind of translator type thing, which I thought was very appropriate. You know, we have lots of Scrum Masters and Product Owners who aren't technical. So it was just more of, I don't want to leave anything out if it's good. And it might not be as, you know, some people I do think like themes and tracks that they can go to, and I'll be in this track the whole time. But I like to think ours says, you know, there's something for everybody in this conference from you know, any person on your team can come here and find something.
Yeah, absolutely. And Music City Code was intended to be a polyglot conference. We do represent Nashville's focus on technology. So we have a lot of web, a lot of Microsoft stack. But we also try to include a little bit of content from everything, because a well-rounded developer should at least be aware of the world around them and the technologies and frameworks at their disposal.
That's cool. And I haven't really got a chance to look at the Music City Code program, but does it follow the same genre as the Music City Agile?
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it really comes down to what is going to be most valuable to the attendees. We do, at least when we're planning it, we sort of have tracks because we want to make sure we cover all our bases. And we try also to space out the content so that you don't end up having like one time slot with a bunch of the same things in it. But we don't really publish those tracks because we don't want somebody to get tied into, well, these are the things that are relevant to me. Because we can't decide that. Everybody's needs are different. So you really should look at what's available and decide each time you can go to a session, what session's best for you.
And there was a conscious effort. I remember us talking about it, of if we did have anything that kind of ran in a track, we actually don't want it all in the same room, because a lot of times we'll do it and you can just stay in that room. We want you to go to other rooms. So if we had a bunch of QA stuff, it's not going to be in the same room. It's going to be in rooms all over so that you get up and walk around, because the hallway conversations and interactions we think are just as important. We don't want you holed up in a room the whole time.
Yeah, and I think that your location this year is fantastic. I mean, it being set in Vanderbilt University's basically student union and some of the other outlying facilities around this student union is nice, because people can actually get outside and go to different sessions. It breaks it up, and there is a lot of room for those great hallway discussions.
There's a lot of good collaboration spaces. And we also were very intentional about leaving very large gaps between 15, 20 minute gaps between the sessions. So you weren't just dashing from one place to another. You felt like you had time to talk with the speaker after, or grab something to drink and talk around the water cooler.
Yeah, and that's one thing. And going to a lot of these conferences and speaking at a lot of conferences, you need that time to unpack from that session. And that's one of the things that felt nice yesterday. So actually running from session to session, it was actually very smooth. And, you know, there was a lot of time to absorb and have conversations with, you know, the people you were in that session with, or as you're even getting to the next one. So, I mean, I totally appreciate the well-spaced gaps in the program. And I know you guys had some constraints there around the lunch block. And I don't know last year if you guys did it as one big shot, but I definitely liked that concept of that 2-hour area with lunch, and that you could have some of those open spaces. So was it by design, or did have you been doing that in the past, or was this kind of a constraint with the lunchtime facilities?
Last year we were actually at a different campus where they had a food court. So we allowed attendees to buy their own lunch at different vendors in the food court. So we didn't do the long lunch. We did, however, have a jam session during lunch where people could come in and listen to the band and play instruments and sing with them. So we tried to do something fun during it. Here, since we are in a dining center where you actually get in line, and we weren't sure about their capacity, their suggestion was that we break it up into groups, and they wanted us to send people every like 15 minutes, which I don't know how we would really facilitate that. So we just decided, let's have some content, do two like 50-minute content sessions. People can decide whether they want to go to some content and then go to lunch or vice versa, and break the people up a little bit, but also give you a lot more time to socialize midday.
Yeah, and I got the chance to catch a couple of those lightning talks during lunch, and it was like, I love these quick 10-minute sessions. And so I think that overall, you know, day one was a smashing success. Just the atmosphere, the good flow of the conference. And then you guys, your day two is basically a bunch of 4-hour workshops, which is a lot of something that you don't see a lot of in the conference circuit today. So what was your guys' kind of decision around going into that larger, longer format kind of sessions?
Well, I know when some of the conferences I go to, they will maybe have the workshops, but you have to pay a bunch more to go to those. And sometimes they're more very vendor heavy, like it's, a certification or something like that. We didn't want to do anything like that, but we did want to have some more in-depth, there's something great about a short, introductory topic and things like that, but people really like to get their hands around something. So, Gaines was already talking about doing it for Music City Code, and we said, let's have that shared day and put some of the Agile tracks in there. And we, last year and this year, we also tried to match things up. So like you can go to an Agile 101 that just kind of introduces Agile and then go to a Kanban class. Or last year we had like an intro to Kanban and then the Kanban game right afterwards. So you could kind of say, oh, I want to know everything about Kanban, and I get really in depth for this. But make it still, again, not vendor driven. It's still driven by the community. It's still, people are submitting, and there's all sorts of, we have regional people, we have local people, we have national people doing it. So, and also tons of different content, because you look in there, we've got Kanban stuff, Agile stuff, more of the soft skills stuff, some stuff around UX and things of that nature. And again, still, I think for everyone could come, especially today, because we also have Music City Code. So there's also very in-depth TDD stuff going on and building apps, with new technology. So anybody coming from your team right now can find something that they can get their hands on in depth today.
Yeah, and I was really excited about Todd's session, who's doing that extreme TDD session. I mean, I'm like, so how coding intensive was it? Because I'm about 5 years removed from really writing a lot of code, and I was like, man, this makes me want to go attend and get back into it. So I really do like that. I really do like that format. And it's amazing that, I don't know if you looked at your attendees blocks, but like this would be one of those selling points to like larger corporations in the area. I mean, you have your conference is extremely affordably priced, which is awesome. Like, did you guys see what companies trying to send more groups of people? Because this would be one great way to get like 2 days of intense training.
I'd say just under half of our tickets sold were multiple tickets sold in the same order, some up to 20 tickets in a single order. So I think that's happening a lot, is companies are seeing at least part of their development team as being worth sending them. And hopefully as we round out the content and grow and add some more space, it'll even be more compelling to just say, well, let's just send our whole IT department. We'll just schedule that at the beginning of the year, and we know they'll be out because they all need the training and the opportunity.
And there is, DevLink was about the only really big technical conference here. There's maybe some InfoSec ones that come around. And
specialized ones like Nodevember, right, and Pi Tennessee.
But there was nothing really around Agile. There's the PMI symposium. So, there was, if you really wanted to get some of this in-depth content, you had to go to some of the bigger conferences around. And so we want to give people an option, like a very affordable option, that you can come here and send your entire team. We've had discussions with like the local Nashville Technology Council, of them coming to us and say, we think these technologies and these approaches need to be here for Nashville to be competitive in the market. And they are very supportive of those type of things. And they want to see stuff like that, that a whole company can say, I'm sending my entire team, developers, scrum masters, product owners, BAs, everybody can go to this and get something out of it.
Cool. Just kind of shift gears on you a little bit. It's always interesting to see what the Agile community looks like in these types of areas, whether it's the development influence part or the, as Brian Merrick would say, the people. Like, what is the Agile footprint look like in the Tennessee area?
It's
in the Nashville area, at least.
It's very diverse. I came to it probably late in general Agile terms, but Nashville is, you know, even though we're a thriving tech community, we're a little bit behind the times, and Agile wasn't really, it's now kind of getting to that mainstream. There's not a lot of places that are saying, oh, we're still waterfall. And some of them are doing Agile only in name, but it's better, you know, getting better all the time. And, you know, like the Agile user group that I run as well, you know, started in 2005, 2006 or something like that. And it was six guys and a pizza. And, you know, we've seen it grow to now we have 70, 80 people each time. And we're getting like 1/3 is new people coming in. And we vote on the topic of what we want to talk about the next time. And it's all over the place. It's product ownership. It's scrum mastering. It's sometimes just 101 stuff. We then had a splinter group that said, listen, we want to talk about more in-depth stuff. So they made the Agile Coaching Exchange. And so that's for more, all right, we're done with the 101 stuff. We want to get in there. And I think what we're seeing is, I think it was a Dunning-Kruger, the effect where when you first evaluate yourself, oh, I'm doing Agile pretty well. Then you really learn Agile and go, all right, I'm not doing Agile as well as I thought I did. I think we've gotten to that point, and we're seeing maturity of people saying, all right, I thought we were doing it because we adopted a bunch of ceremonies and renamed everybody, but we're not really getting the benefit, and we've understand now there's something underneath that. And I think that's what we're seeing in the last couple of years, and that's why the conference is really booming, and like the local user groups are really booming as well. So that's what I'm seeing, is that maturity of understanding it's now more than a set of practices, that there's something deeper underneath it.
That's awesome. What's the code footprint look like? Is there any kind of significant meetup groups and things like that here in the Tennessee area?
There are more meetup groups and user groups in Nashville than you can keep track of. The list is extremely long, and partially it's because we are a little bit siloed. You know, it makes sense for the Node developers to want to get together and talk Node, and the game developers and the Xamarin group, but it's difficult to have them all on your calendar and keep track of them all and make time every month to attend them all. Yeah.
That's cool. So what is the tech community look like around the Nashville area? Is it, 'cause I was surprised, we were just up in Pittsburgh, and it was in, who knew that Pittsburgh was an extremely budding tech hub? Is the tech scene always been prevalent here, or is it just now starting to kind of come into its own?
I think from my understanding, before I came to Nashville, it really started off as a financial hub, and then we gained a huge amount of healthcare, and of course the music industry, obviously, for Music City. And then besides healthcare, would you say the other industry that we see the most of?
Well, we
have quite a few auto manufacturers that have moved major development shops here.
Manufacturing and distribution. You'll see a lot of distribution stuff. And Memphis as well. Memphis is kind of a big distribution point, so you see a lot of distribution there, and we kind of have some leftover for that.
And, of course, these industries tend to drive certain types of approaches. I think that's why you're seeing a slow adoption of Agile, because that didn't tend to permeate things like the healthcare industry. We also see a very high uptick in Microsoft stack technologies. It's become, I think it's a bit of a monkey see, monkey do sort of situation, that almost everything in Nashville, it seems like, is web. Because once you have a bunch of talent in a certain part of the industry, you tend to just go that direction. So very web heavy.
So awesome. So what is on the future for the Music City Agile Conference?
So definitely the venue change and time change made us do a lot of different logistics this year. So there'll be some lessons learned from that. I really want to get better at what we're doing. I don't necessarily think we'll expand to another day. I really like the kind of the approach we're doing now. I think it's a good pace for us. So curating content. We have a lot of talk about how to integrate more ad hoc sessions, so open spaces. Coaching corners, another thing we do that people seem to really like, which is here's a room with, you know, two or three coaches in it, and you can kind of come and get a slot with them and just sit down and talk to them. So it's kind of like an open space, but you have kind of a guaranteed, you know, thought leader there. And it's a lot of times it's the people that, oh, that guy wrote my book, or I know that person's blog post. And, you know, especially the national people we come in, that seems to be very, very popular. And when I went by and looked a couple of times, like the individual people had grown into one big group. So it was like three people talking to three different coaches, having this kind of shared discussion that they really loved. So I'd like to see more of that. So we'll be talking about how can we organize that to where open spaces is and more ad hoc content is more integrated and not kind of a side thing, that it can maybe be part of the actual, you know, do you do a session and then have open spaces, or, you know, that's something we've talked about a lot as well.
Cool. Where do you see the code side of the conference going?
I think we've hit a pretty good stride on what we're providing, and people really seem to be responding to it. I think it's just making sure to maintain the quality by allowing more people to participate, especially, you know, as he said, this year with having to move to a new venue, the time frame got crunched. And I think a lot of people, you know, we only had registration open for a couple months before the conference. So some people weren't aware of it. So as awareness grows of the new time, you know, at the beginning of June, we're going to see a lot more interest, and we want to be able to handle that capacity. And Vanderbilt can do that for us. We just have to plan to maintain the quality as we grow.
Yeah. Now, would you guys ever look to kind of overlap days? So where you had Agile overlapping code and vice versa?
That's actually what we were going to start off doing this year. So last year was the exact same thing we did, where we had Wednesday, it was Music City Agile, and then the shared workshop day. And that went well, but we thought, all right, could we run them at the same time and merge crews and take some logistics out of it? Some logistic problems that came up when we started planning it that way is, how do we separate them? So if I only want to come to Music City Agile and I don't want to go to Music City Code and I don't want to pay for it, and the venue wasn't clearly split enough to where we could have, oh, this is only one place, and then you have vendors who only want to be in one, and if we put it in another building, I didn't have place to put vendors. And we went through a lot of that kind of logistics, and it was kind of late in the game and we needed to make a decision. So it was kind of, let's fall back to what we knew worked and go there. But it's still something we've been talking about. Is there another format to kind of make it work? And again, we kind of settled just on, let's, with the logistics change of a new venue and a short time crunch, let's go back to what we knew worked, and we'll open it up to looking at new ideas.
I'd be interested in hearing insight from your listeners. I know that there's two different camps. One is, I want to be able to send everybody for the same days and they can go to whatever fits them. Or I want to go to different days because I don't want to miss out on content from one conference when I'm going to the other one. So I'd be interested in hearing if they have a preference one way or another, because we could do whatever's appropriate for the community, really.
Yeah, and that's one thing is, when we post these shows, we post a discussion thread on the Coalition site, which is our discussion board. So we'll be happy to share all the feedback and content that we get and their ideas with you guys. And I do kind of, I am kind of liking the idea that it is the day of Agile shared workshop and then the code day. I think that is actually a pretty good format. I think if you compress the two, you guys are around, the code is around 600. You guys came in around 250 this year. I mean, 800 people in one spot at one time, that tends to kind of make things a little crazy. And it was when we went, I just did Agile and Beyond up in Ann Arbor, and it was, it's just 2 days of everything kind of blended together, and in the 800 people, it was insane. So I'm really digging the format.
We have talked even about adding other conferences as well. I mean, as the needs are identified, for instance, we discussed the possibility of adding Music City Data to focus on data-specific topics, as well as data science and some of the more emerging approaches. So that fits alongside the having parallel conferences where the people who have specialties can focus on their content, but we're still all coming together as a community.
And that's a great idea. I know that, I think if you looked at the, it's a Techwell conference series.
Yeah.
But they have three concurrent conferences going.
All the Connections ones, Dev Connections, IT Connections.
The one in Vegas. I spoke at the one in Vegas. Yeah, the DevOps track. Yeah.
Yeah, it was for the one in Vegas. It's there's a development one, there's an Agile one, and then there's a DevOps one, all kind of running in parallel. Mm-hmm. And you can choose to pop between the three, but there you'd almost need a convention size center space. Yeah.
That would definitely be about the point where we would be moving to a venue that would support as much space as we would need.
Yeah. And that would affect one thing we're really trying to do is keep prices very, very, very low. We had to increase this year because we had increased budget and increased expenses. And space in Nashville is at a premium. You have 85 people moving here every day. And so they're just building stuff left and right. And with more stuff happening, it's really hard to find a very affordable space. And I don't want to have, you know, $1,000 conference. We really want to keep it affordable for the local community to really get the biggest bang for their buck. So we, you know, in that we try to be creative in the spaces. And if we went to all one at the same time with the number of set, I mean, you know, we had what, 8 things going on at one time with Agile. You've got about the same with Music City Code. Mm-hmm. There's very few places that will allow us to have 16 consecutive tracks at one time. That would be madness.
Without paying $3 a soda at least.
Yes.
Which is, I totally love the format. And, you know, as you guys grow and see the need, I mean, who knows, the sky's the limit. So this has just been it's been a really great event, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time to sit down with us and talk about the event. And I look forward to trying to come back next year for this event, and for the Agile Uprising is always happy to promote. So as soon as you guys know the call for papers are coming out, and you get to some more dates again, just hit us up, and we're because we're looking to try to get a calendar published for all the Agile events that want to be a part of that calendar to kind of help us, as you know, our community helping promote your community. So really appreciate it. Great job, guys.
Thanks. Yeah, and if any of your listeners want to receive information directly, they can go to subscribe.musiccityagile.org to sign up and get those emails in their inboxes.
Cool. So as we kind of wrap this up, if the community wants to get in touch with you guys, how would they find you? Either social media, email, whatever you'd like to show. And if you guys have anything that you guys would like to plug as well, we like to give our...
Sure. You can connect with me directly, you know, on Twitter at Tommy Norman, easy to find. And then I think we're both director at musiccitycode.com and musiccityagile.org, because somebody else already had the domain, to email us directly. And as far as plugging things, you know, if people are in town, you know, as I said, I run the Agile user group. And a lot of times we'll have people are visiting, doing work or something like that. And if they are interested in attending, or even we'd love to hear other people come and speak and kind of participate in our panels and things like that. So people definitely reach out to me if they're going to be in this area, and we'd love to include them in our community activities that we're doing.
Yeah. And I'm at Gaines K on Twitter. And the conference Twitters are also Music City Code, Music City Agile. Anybody interested in getting involved in the community, whether it's from a development or Agile or just a company wants to get more plugged in, should reach out. We'll do what we can to connect them.
All right. Thanks again, guys. And if you want to connect with me, I'm at Scramando. And you can also find me at my email is james.gifford@scramando.com. And you can always find me on the Coalition at coalition.agileuprising.com. So hope you enjoyed the show.
Lean Agile Intelligence is the industry's first customizable agile assessment and learning platform. The platform's assessment builder, consisting of over 100 agile and lean practices derived directly from the framework literature, enables organizations to tailor team, program, or leadership assessments to their unique needs. Lean Agile Intelligence facilitates the assessment and provides rolled-up team results in an actionable format so that organization constraints and coaching needs can be identified. The first 4 months are free, so you can determine if this is a platform that adds value to your change initiative. There is no certification required to use Lean Agile Intelligence. The only requirement is an environment of safety that promotes learning and experimentation. Visit us at www.leanagileintelligence.com today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.